For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
And welcome to VOC Nation's Wrestling with Problems. I'm your host, King David Lane. That's King David Lane on just about every social media platform. So give me a like, follow, and friend request, and I'll probably give you a return. And of course, like King David Comedy, that's Comedy with a K. That's King David Comedy with a K. Comedy with a K. Check those out on most major social media platforms as well. Hope to have some very, very exciting news coming up because we are starting to get shows going back. The vaccines are going out. So I'm hoping in the next few weeks to have a lot of shows to announce and a lot of good things going on for King David Comedy. So stay tuned in the coming weeks and we'll get you more information on that. But for the time being, we still do have our weekly open mic in the Miller Beach section of Gary, Indiana. That's on Lake Street, the Performance Comedy Theater. So come check that out. It's free every Wednesday night. So bring your mask. We are operating at reduced capacity. Let people have social distancing space and you can get some free laughs. So come on out and enjoy that every Wednesday night. Right now, I'm joined by my second man in the booth this week, co-host for this week, Brian Hunter at Brock Bizza on Twitter. That's at BrockBizza on Twitter. Brian, how's it going?
It's going good, King. How's it going, people out there?
And hopefully they're all doing well and hopefully they're getting their vaccines and still, you know, being socially distant as well and stuff. Like I said, I know it seems like we've been doing this forever, but you want to don't get to almost to the finish line and then trip and fall at the end. You know, like I said, a lot of people are like, well, I got my vaccine, so I ain't got to do all this other stuff. No, I'll keep doing it because just because you got your vaccine doesn't mean everybody in your life has theirs. So if you're not concerned about strangers, at least be concerned about your kids and stuff like that who can still get it, even though you're vaccinated. Because the kids have not been approved yet. So just take a couple more months, you know, be responsible. Like I said, we ain't telling you got to stay at home as much anymore. Like if you got your vaccine, you can move a little bit more freely now, but still, that don't mean you can completely drop the ball. Anyway, now that we got that problem out of the way, we got off our soapbox, let's go ahead and get into some wrestling-related stuff and some news. The biggest story of the last week was all the WWE releases. Apparently, there might be an NXT release list coming soon as well, but we have not got any information regarding that as of showtime. We're recording Monday evening, so hopefully they haven't dropped it or don't drop it tonight, and then I'll be really, really mad because I won't be able to talk about it on this show for at least another week. Even though I do have some other platforms I might discuss a little bit here and there, but we're going to go ahead and just read off a list of some of the talent that WWE released. Apparently, there was like 20 people released during the pandemic. You know, that the first big set of cuts last year, it was like a big purge. They had another cut on last week. It would have been about 4 days ago as of our recording time. So, I believe that would have been the 15th they had all a cut. Basically, on tax day, it was the tax day massacre. We can just call it that, tax day massacre. But anyway, they released Samoa Joe, Billy Kay, Chelsea Green, Mickie James, Tucker, Kalisto, Wesley Blake, and also Bo Dallas and Peyton Royce. So some prominent names there, you know, some people that have been, you know, world champion and champion both in WWE or other organizations. Mickie James has been, of course, a women's champion and Divas champion. Samoa Joe has been world heavyweight champion in a few places. Billy Kay and Peyton Royce have been the women's tag team champions at Iconics. Ironically, we thought they had broken that team up so that they could push Peyton Royce, and then Peyton Royce never got a push. They just had Billy Kay doing some silly, crazy stuff, but actually, I'll just go ahead and throw it to you, Brian. On this list, who do you think it made sense to cut, if anybody, and who do you think that they made a big mistake by cutting? Let's go with first, who you think were the biggest mistakes on this list that they cut?
Biggest mistakes: Samoa Joe, Peyton Royce, Billy Kay.
Yep, I agree with you. Now, let's go ahead and Samoa Joe. Why do you think it was a mistake to release Samoa Joe?
Okay, here's the thing. Okay. Now, let's just say you didn't want Samoa Joe as a wrestler because we say he's injury prone. Okay, fine. You negotiate his contract as a commentator, and he was not a bad commentator because you usually have former wrestlers as commentators anyway. So, okay, so Samoa Joe was actually solid. He was credible, you know what I mean? So it's a whole hell of a lot better than what they got right now. You know what I mean?
Yep. I see what you're saying. And like I said, to illustrate your point, when they said they were putting Samoa Joe on the commentary team, I was like, why? He was not always a guy that was known for great mic skills or anything like that. I think he definitely shown more in WWE on the mic than he's thrown some of his other previous stops. So I thought he had greatly improved, you know. And we were considering this, you know, more, not quite the end of his career, but he's more towards twilight at this point. But he is a guy that improved a lot on the mic, and he had done great. I think he was a pretty good, actually, color commentator. The weird thing was, like, you never know in wrestling who's going to be good on the mic as far as a commentator. Because there's been guys that, you know, you never really thought of as, quote, mic guys that end up doing a good job, whether it be with their gimmick or their character. Because, like, when Taz first started out, Taz did not want to cut promo. He just wanted to go in the ring and beat people up and do that thing. Paul Heyman sort of forced him to the role, and he just completely shined at it. And he had been great on the mic as a wrestler, and he did a great job on the mic, you know, once he started, you know, got away from wrestling, was, you know, on the announced team. So Taz is one of those guys that kind of surprised you once you gave him the mic and let him have the ball around with it. Samoa Joe sort of did the same thing, although it seemed like it took him a lot longer because he wrestled for like 15 years, and I'd never really was particularly interested in what he had to say on the mic until, you know, more his WWE runs. But he did a great job with that. So you took this you gave him a shot. You gave him a shot. He does a good job. And then you get rid of him anyway. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. Plus, on top of it, there was still a lot of matches that Samoa Joe could have had. Now, Grant, like I said, that is, you did bring up the fact that they thought that he might be somebody that has injury risk, injury prone. As a general rule, when people get injured, it's not like WWE's, you know, pays them a lot when they're injured. If they can't work, you don't get paid for the most part, from my understanding. Now, I don't know if they had like a different deal with him or something else, but he was not, if he was going to be hurt, he wasn't getting paid that much. You already had him on the announced. Now, here's what would make sense. If Samoa Joe wanted to be continue his in-ring career, but WWE did not want to bring him back to the ring, and they said, no, we're just going to keep you at the desk. And he said, no, I don't want that. Then it might make sense for WWE to release him. But I still think there was value in Samoa Joe in the ring, and they should have gave him a shot. If nothing else, I understand there was probably not going to be a heavyweight, you know, big title push in his future, but he still could have did a lot of stuff with like a lot of mid-card guys, sort of elevate guys, putting on great matches and stuff like that. So the opportunity was there. I felt like they dropped the ball with Samoa Joe.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Now just going on that example. Okay. Now, Frank, you say he's too much of a injury risk. Okay.
That's let's be clear. Those weren't my words. That was allegedly part of why WWE said they were getting rid of him. Those aren't my words, just to be clear.
No, I'm saying if let's just play that scenario. Okay. If you feel like that and you, the WWE brass, okay, fine. Now what you're going to do? You're going to put him in three feuds, okay? Okay, one against Big E, one against Cesaro, and another one against Roman Reigns. Okay. I just say this, okay. Cesaro, okay, would be to build him up as a legit world heavyweight, a legit universal title contender.
okay, Big E to push him up a topo in the main event, and you got two heavyweights battling out that actually can wrestle. Then you have he wins a triple threat match against we just say between him, Cesaro, and Big E. He wins a triple threat match. He go against Roman Reigns for the Universal title. He loses the first one. He wants one more shot, and Reigns said, "Fine, you want another shot? Why should I?" He put his career up. He loses that. He goes to comment. He goes to commentate on Raw. That's that.
Okay, like I said, that could make a lot of sense. That would be a nice little angle to run. And I could definitely see that as well. As by the way, they're talking about if you're using the argument he's too much of an injury risk, who did they have in the main event at WrestleMania? Edge and Daniel Bryan. Bryan had a history of brain injuries. By the way, he was cleared, though, don't get me wrong. So they did, make him sit out a while and came back. Edge, serious neck injury risk, had to take like 7 years off for that. So that's a guy, quote, with an injury risk, and a guy that's much older than Samoa Joe is right now. And then on top of it, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And by the way, Samoa Joe was injured, not in a match, not in a real match per se. He was injured shooting a commercial. He was shooting a commercial for the video game that really never came out because the game was so terrible. They said, we can't release this crap. So that adds insult to injury, I think. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on and talk about some of this other talent that was released as well. We got, like I said, the Iconics is definitely a huge loss as far as all the people on this list that, you thought had more talent. Bo Dallas never really caught on, I think, long term. He did have some interesting, things he did with his Believe gimmick, but that sort of ran its course. They sort of had the little gimmick. What was him and the other guys? It was like four of them, and they were like
Social outcasts or something like that. Outcast.
That was something that they kind of, I felt like they dropped the ball with. I don't know if that was a long term solution for him or any other group member of the group, but that's something that they could have let run a little bit longer, and they did. So he's literally been sitting around doing nothing for like a couple years. And I guess I guess if you had nothing for him, it kind of makes sense to get rid of him. Pay the guy for a couple years. The other thing is, a lot of times in WWE, your family relationships and stuff like that play a big role. So his brother's Bray Wyatt, his dad's Mike Rotunda. So, and then, of course, you got the Windham family on the other side of it, as far as, his legacy in the business. So maybe they just sort of kept him around for a while. But if I'm Bo Dallas, basically he's my understanding, he's chilling running a farm with another hot female wrestler whose name, I can't remember which attractive female he's dating, but apparently they're running a farm somewhere together. So at least he has, other money to fall back on and stuff. So. Anyway, if I can think of that before we go off the air, I'll bring that back up. But least he does have fallback income. It's not like he's gonna be like on the street corner with his cup out, shaking it for change or whatever. So.
Nah, I think he's gonna be just fine now. I really wasn't gonna touch on this, but I believe that another way that they could use Bo Dallas, I don't know what was the whole thing with WrestleMania and Alexa Bliss and whatnot, but I believe that if the Fiend wanted to get his revenge, he would turn his brother into another version of the Fiend, and then trying to get him like a new type of gimmick or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to me, I believe that if his brother would like took on Bray Wyatt's old gimmick or a Fiend family member or whatnot, that if nothing else, I believe that with Bray Wyatt's help and everything, the man could have finally got over.
And like I said, I don't think they had the, like I said, I think he was over, but he wasn't what I call a main event over. He's a guy that was a solid part of the mid card for a long time. I don't think they ever saw him in a high, as a higher role for that. But still, there's a place and value in that too. So even if you don't, if you're not going to get the big belt, there still is, you know, a great use for people in the mid card. So.
No. Anyway, let's move on past that one, though. We spent too much time on Bo Dallas.
Yeah, like I said, and by the way, Bo Dallas is allegedly dating Liv Morgan. I just say allegedly because I don't, like I said, he's, right. I see listings that say he's married and there's people asking about, you know, I see that mentioned a couple times, so I don't want to cast aspersions on his character. He's supposedly married. I don't know if the divorce was ever finalized.
Well,
rather than get into some legal trouble, he's allegedly dating Liv Morgan and I see reports that he's married, so I don't know if there's a breakup or I don't know if that's just false rumors or just stuff that's going around, but that's the Clay. You draw your own conclusion for that. Don't take it as gospel that I said any of this stuff because it's all allegedly based on internet rumors and speculation and various things I've seen other places.
Now, so answer me this though. Okay. Did it make sense to drop Tucker?
At this point, yes. I don't understand why they broke the tag team up because Tucker only made sense as far as that team. There was no value. I didn't see a lot of value in Tucker outside of the team heavy machinery, but I like the team heavy machinery. But then they decided to break up that team and they had Tucker Toner for apparently limited reasons. He did it and then they didn't really follow up on that. So, okay, at least if you're going to have him, you know, talk to his buddy or former buddy the Money in the Bank contract match, at least do some significant follow-up and let that be a little bit viewed for a couple months. But they sort of dropped that view pretty quickly. They dropped the thing with Mandy Rose. So it's just like the whole thing was kind of a waste of time all the way around for everybody. it was actually a little bit of a solid, you know, angle that ran there for a while with Mandy Rose and Otis. But then it ended up having Tucker turn on Otis, costing the match, and then he just sort of basically just said, "Oh, go with Chad Gable now." Didn't really make a lot of sense to me. That's one thing I really hate about WWE in general.
So you broke them off from a legit tag team to have him have what may be a 6 month single run to winning Money in the Bank to go back to a tag team.
But a different guy where the tag team makes a lot of sense. Because, like I said, it seemed like if you're putting together a team, while I like Chad Gable and I like Otis, if I was putting together a tag team, I don't put them together as a team. That team together doesn't make sense.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
See now, honestly, I would deal with Gable actually. I would actually have him win the cruiserweight title. Because honestly, he's not really doing nothing. Honestly, is Chad Gable one of them guys you really waiting to see on SmackDown? Not really. Is he?
I would say that yes. I would say no, but that's a victim of bad booking and all the dumb stuff.
As far as if you tell me
he's having a match, you put on another good wrestler, I'm excited to see that match. But right. I'm not excited from the quote angle standpoint, just because they haven't booked him in much in the ways of quality angles.
I say this. For me, to try and boost some ratings up for 205 Live. I'm putting him in there. I'm putting a few other people who's not really doing much just to boost those ratings up, and actually give like one of the cruiserweight champ like an actual real fight. You know what I mean? She was like, okay, no one really watches 205 Live. I remember when it was an hour show. It's 30 minutes, and I don't know. Five people who actually watch 205 Live. I really don't.
Except I watch it and I don't even watch it. And by saying that, I mean I turn it on. I put it on Hulu, and then it's on, and then I don't pay that much of attention to it other than like maybe the main event, or I say, oh, this is some new talent they brought in, but I don't actually pay any active attention.
See,
but yeah, and by the way, you raise a good point. You were like, it's like a half hour long. I don't know what quote Peacock version of it is. I know when it's on Hulu it's about 45 minutes, but out of that 45 minutes, 15 minutes is like something that happened on Raw. Now grant, like if you're doing the week in WWE, you're doing main event, you're doing one of those shows, it makes complete sense if you want to flashback and show us what happened on Raw or what happened on SmackDown. It makes zero sense for 205 Live, which is supposed to be a cruiserweight show, to show 15 minutes of heavyweight stuff. That's stupid. Exactly. That is stupid. Stop that.
Right. Thank you.
It there's plenty of places where you could, you know, put that so, you know, you get a flashback or, you know, you get up to date on it. But 205 Live, it makes literally no sense at all. It should only be cruiserweight. Just like if they ever do that show they're talking about where it's like a woman show, they talk about that, they haven't done it. When you do the woman show, it should only be women on that show, unless it's, you know, if you got a manager to a woman and it's a man, that makes sense. But there should be no men's matches on it unless they're fighting a woman. That's the only way you break that sort of thing. We have that sort of show. If you have a tag team show, put it be tag teams only. Nothing but tag teams. Don't put singles matches on it. Unless you do some kind of gimmick stuff where, oh, we're going to have one tag team dude fight this other tag team dude or something like that. But it needs to stay on brand or message some kind of way. At least make it make sense. Sheamus makes no sense. Being on 205 Live.
No.
It's just like when you do NXT UK. When it's NXT UK, you don't have two Americans fight on the show. That's stupid.
And you've been getting I said like this. Okay. Now if you figuring, hey, these guys are floundering. If you saying they floundering on the main roster and everything. Okay, I understand you're putting like, if you want to see what this dude could do in another market, like Aleister Black in NXT UK. If you want to go ahead and put him there, okay. If you want to put like Bo Dallas, I don't know if anyone really gonna be excited. Hey, Bo Dallas going against Walter. Will you really want to see that match?
I said that literally just makes sense. Is get Walter somebody else to beat up. That I could if he was still on roster, I could see them doing that just because you wanted to give Walter somebody different to beat up. So that would almost be the replacement of a jobber versus star match, basically.
Right. So he got some airplay. Okay, but okay, so let's just face it. Okay, Walter is like, Well, if he beat up Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel, okay, I really wouldn't care. You know what I mean? But yeah, he could say, hey, I'm taking out the big boys now, quote unquote. Know what I mean? And of course, all of us will actually be laughing because if you consider Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas big boys, know what I mean? From the roster, know what I mean? It's like, okay, yeah, but like I said, it's someone else different to beat up now than me.
Yeah. By the way, before you go further, Curtis Axel got fired like a year ago.
Okay.
That shows you how much attention you're paying attention to, and most people are paying attention to Curtis Axel. He got fired last year when the WWE made that cut.
Well,
by the way, I don't mean to laugh at him in general because he does have a great family legacy and whatnot. And I actually thought he was gonna, you know, go somewhere. Matter of fact, I think we were in the arena together in the former Rosemont Horizon, now known as Allstate Arena in Rosemont, Illinois. I believe it was Father's Day. He won like the Intercontinental title, I think, like way back in the day. And we thought it was, you know, the crowd was popping for him, they were high for him. He won it on Father's Day. You know, his father was, you know, Mr. Perfect, and he won the title on Father's Day. It was almost like when Jordan won that NBA Finals on Father's Day. And, you know,
right.
You felt that good for him in a moment, sort of achieving that.
Right.
And then next thing you know, we decided we were going another direction. Curtis Axel, you're not really going anywhere. But yeah.
Okay. If it's fine with you, my good man, I think we can move forward from this. And I'm going to actually pour a switch on you and everything.
No. Okay. We still got to talk about the iconic. That's the most.
That's the switch.
Okay, that's not really. That's more. Because we actually started talking about. We just got sidetracked talking about Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel.
Right.
And so, by the way, there's no reason ever to be sidetracked talking about the iconic. Talk about.
No.
It just happened. You know. That's what happens when we get two friends talking about wrestling. We go on these tangents sometimes. Anyway, let's get back. Like I said, because that's actually what we meant to talk about. You know, talk about some more Joe, Billy Kay and Peyton Royce. The weird thing was, they were pretty much the only female tag team in WWE, even before they had the tag belts.
Tag teams, right. So
there was no other female tag teams, and they didn't have tag team belts. So it was kind of stupid that they were together as a quote tag team when there was no belts. But eventually, slowly but surely, they at least put together a few teams. So the division at any given moment usually has about four or five teams now. Ideally, when you have a division of anything, you hope to have like eight competitors or eight teams. Usually in tag team wrestling, though, the way they do it now, though, is there's usually in the neighborhood of four or five. Most individual wrestling divisions, you hope to have at least eight contenders in it. So... But anyway, they were the originators of that division even before they quoted division. They did a great job. It almost felt like with WWE, they had them alone as the only female tag team for too long. But then eventually the belts did finally come along and they did, you know, win them at some point. And then they decided, the word on the street was they were going to like break the team up and give Peyton Royce a run because they felt she was the quote talent of the team. So they were going to give Peyton Royce a run, and Billy Kay did almost nothing for a little while. Then at some point, it kind of seemed like they went the other direction with it. They stopped showing Peyton Royce on TV. They had Billy Kay basically being comic relief. But the weird thing about it was Billy Kay was actually surprisingly good in the role. See, that's the thing. Sometimes it's like the New Day. You give somebody a stupid idea, but somehow they manage to take their stupid idea and make some gold out of it. That's what happened with the New Day. They switched it from a stupid, you know, sort of lame preacher gimmick that, you know, don't get me wrong. You can actually have a good, quote, preacher gimmick because Brother Love did a great job with that gimmick for years. But the way they presented it with the New Day, it just looks stupid.
It didn't work. But
they sort of took that, molded it to their own thing and made it their own thing and actually, you know, ended up turning it into gold. Billy Kay did the same thing. They were like, hey, Billy Kay, you know, you're gonna go find some, you're gonna kind of get recruited for these different groups. So you're just gonna end up looking stupid all the time, but you're gonna recruit. Like, where have you tried to join a riot squad? And one, she actually looked kind of good in the riot squad gear, even though we knew mentally it didn't feel like she made sense to it. But eventually they turned on her. You know, she would try to go to all these different wrestlers and give her her resume and give her her headshots. Because, like, in wrestling, you never see wrestlers with headshots anyway, as far as passing them out. You do see them. Like, a lot of times you will see them, like, in, or if you go, like, the indie shows, I don't know if that's the case anymore, but as of at least a few years ago, you see, like, people signing these autograph headshots, and that's how a lot of the indie talent makes, you know, some of their extra money, because they don't get a hell of a lot, you know, traveling, even though, like, if you are a star, if you are famous enough to sell your headshots, you do get way more money than your regular indie wrestler might get. Like Chris Best would famously say, a hot dog and a handshake, you might actually get a couple hundred bucks, but still, when you factor in traveling and, you know, having to pay your mortgage and everything else, those headshots, if you can sell, say, your headshot for 20 bucks, that's, you know, if you can sell, like, you know, 50 of them, that's a good evening for you. So, but anyway, like I said, I felt like they both were talented, but I felt like Billy Kay showed more after the split up of the team. And it just felt like WWE sort of did the same thing they do a lot of time. They're like, hey, we got a star here. We changed our mind. Okay, you made a mistake. You got yourself over. Now known as Matt Cardona, but Zack Ryder, when you start getting yourself over, like, that's kind of what Billy Kay did. We're going to give you the stupid idea. What, you're getting yourself over with this? No, we didn't want you to do that. We wanted you to do an okay job. We didn't want you to do a great job. So we decided, yeah, we're going to go to the race. We're going to rate you. So I think it would be silly. Like I said, I know a lot of people are assuming that all this talent is going to run to AEW. I don't necessarily agree that all of this talent is going to run to AEW. But if you look at the list of people we named, again, we named Samoa Joe, Billy Kay, Chelsea Green, Mickey James, Tucker, Kalisto, Wesley Blake, Bo Dallas, and Peyton Royce. I say it makes a lot of sense for three of these to go to AEW. Samoa Joe and Iconic definitely makes sense. Mickey James, maybe, as far as more of a, you know, back behind the scenes role, if you need somebody to work with the women in particular, I think that might work. I don't know if it's an active in-ring competitor. I mean, she could probably do a few matches here and there, but she wouldn't be a, quote, I don't think a full-time wrestler, but she could definitely be somebody, she could definitely be an asset to the women's division or working behind the scenes. She just, like I said, if she works behind the scenes, obviously, it wouldn't have to be limited to just the women that she did it with. She could, you know, she has a lot of experience and a lot of talent and whatnot, so she could help a lot of people out. Tucker, I don't see any point in him going to AEW. I don't see what AEW could get out of him. He could maybe go to Impact and sort of rebuild his brand, or maybe NWA or somewhere else. He's not a guy that's, quote, ready to be have any quarters, I think, significant singles run at the top level. So maybe he could go to the indie scene and rebuild his, you know, stature. Maybe he go to Impact and sort of come out with, like, new character, like maybe like Kurt Hawkins did or something like that, or, you know, maybe EC3's rebuild. I don't know if he has that in him, but I know right now he doesn't have the fame level, or he hasn't shown enough to say he needs to be as a singles wrestler anywhere near the top level. So him, no. I'm going to scratch off the list of thinking he's going to make any significant impact anywhere soon. Kalisto's a maybe guy that I think maybe could go to AEW and do something. Cause he's already a talented worker. Wesley Blake. I don't know enough about Wesley Blake to say that, to be honest.
Well, you okay, man? Well,
no, I was laughing. I was literally laughing. I wasn't sick or coughing. I literally was laughing. I was like, Wesley Blake. Because I have to remember, was that the guy that was dating Rey Mysterio's daughter? Or is that the other guy?
I'm not sure.
Because, like I said, because WWE has a lot of these guys that sort of resemble each other.
Yeah, I said this in NXT, they actually made sense. When they first came up to the main roster, I'm like, okay, you know what? Now, I thought it was too soon for them to be the New Day, though, but I figured, hey, they trying to get them over, you know what I mean, as a legit badass trio and everything. But I seen their momentum stop when Jackson Ryder had screwed up and everything, and pretty much it came out that he was a supporter of former President Trump. And so it kind of like killed the momentum of the group. And next thing I know, okay, Alden was off TV for a couple months and everything. Then next thing I know, I seen, okay, the other two guys with, what's his name? King Corbin.
Yeah, the
man, how bad is it when you got two guys that's trying to get over with a guy that they really don't know what to do with, but they still keeping him around?
Because, yeah, like I said, and by the way, I do want to correct it. Like I said, like Wesley Blake was the former Parker. Murphy was the guy that was dating Rey Mysterio's daughter, allegedly, you know, for gimmick purposes. They were dating. Right. But Wesley Blake was his partner, and before that, and he was, you know, they had the team, you know, back in NXT for a long time. He was actually, back in the day, they were a team. So, sorry about the confusion about that. Like I said, some of these guys, they just sort of run together because they don't do anything of note or prominence. Murphy actually has had a little bit more of a solid run, even because, like I said, the whole thing with Seth Rollins at least gave him a little bit of something to stand out. At least it gave him enough to stand out as far as once I like talked about Wesley Blake, I was like, oh yeah, I remember that was a tag team, but at least he did lose something on his own. Murphy was actually previously engaged to Alexa Bliss back in the day too as well. So I would say overall he's had a bit of a better run than Wesley Blake did.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. Like I said, again, we ended up on another tangent.
Okay. So what's next on the menu? Okay, besides the folks that WWE had dropped.
I will just say quickly about Chelsea Green. She didn't really get the chance to do much in WWE, but she did have a nice run and Impact is the sort of crazy bright thing that she was doing. So yeah, she can probably go back to Impact, or she might be in a nice addition to AEW's women roster as well, because she's still young. She's got like time to do something. So I think we'll go ahead and let that conclude our discussion of the WWE purge of this year. Next, we'll get into how long WWE plans to run shows in the Thunderdome. Apparently, they got a SummerSlam will most likely have a live crowd for that. But it doesn't look like in between now and then WWE is going back on the road or anything. WWE does have a contract with the to run with Thunderdome until August. So most likely that's when their deal runs out. They're probably going to keep that deal intact. And hopefully, you know, because, you know, like I said, we were talking about the vaccines and stuff going out. I think to a large degree, provided nothing too stupid happens between now and then, I think once that deal runs out, that will be the perfect time for WWE to go back on the road, because I think most of the people that want to be vaccinated will have had the chance to at least get their first shots by June 1st. I think we're at the point now where everybody that wants to get a vaccine that's an adult can get one. So I think over the next couple of weeks, I was really kind of hopeful that we might be able to do it by June 1st and pretty much open most stuff up, most back to normal by then. I'm thinking that maybe that's a little bit optimistic, even though the shots were going out pretty quickly lately. But I think definitely by August, stuff will be close, I think, to normal by the time into August hits. Like I said, SummerSlam's usually a late August event, I believe. So I do think by the time SummerSlam hits, it will be in good shape. So I think WWE has mentioned that they don't want to, quote, go back and forth. They don't want to go on the road. They go to the road, go to Thunderdome. So I think once this contract runs out, things would have to be really, really messed up, and we'd have to really take a step backwards for WWE to continue with this Thunderdome concept by the end. And I think the other thing about that is you're going to want to strike while the iron's hot. People who have been cooped up for so long after being cooped up for over a year and a half at that point, that wrestling fans will be clamoring to see live wrestling again. So I think WWE is going to want to pack as many shows as possible starting with August, at least for the next 2-3 months after that. They'll probably be running shows like every night for the next 2-3 months after that, just because, fingers crossed, most of the shows will be sold out by then. So people haven't seen, across the country and across the world, haven't seen wrestling live in that long, most of them. So I think that's going to be a big deal. So you got any thoughts on that? Sorry, I can't. Do you got any thoughts on that, Brian? Whether or not you, like I said, does that look good as far as the open up date or what?
Well, in my opinion, I don't see anything wrong with the date. So I figure, like you said, everybody who wants it, they got the chance of getting vaccinated. To me, I just think it's like this, okay. Either you're gonna get vaccinated, so you could go to the sporting events, be out in the crowd, and actually enjoy life without being cooped up, or you're gonna wear your mask, social distance, and don't be around folks unnecessarily. You're not gonna go to the clubs, bars, movies, and all of that. My thing is, okay, choose which one. You can't not get the vaccination, nor not wear your mask properly, just wearing it over your mouth. And what are you doing? So for those who hate wearing this mask or are tired of wearing the mask, get vaccinated. You know, at this point, what you want to do. You know that you want to go back and be with big crowds, football, wrestling. Just get vaccinated.
I'm going to get vaccinated and not do that either. I still don't want to be a rubber closer, but that has nothing to do with wrestling. It's just aggravating. I mean, that has nothing to do with the disease. I just don't want to be around big groups of people just because it's a pain in the ass. It's not so much that I hate big groups of people. It's just aggravating to get into parking spaces and out of parking spaces for me. I'm not saying that I'll never do it because, you know, there are times when I do want to go, like, to a restaurant show and stuff like that. But still, you know, it's more about the aggravations to me than it actually is the disease for the most part once things do get back to normal. Anyway, I know you're in a little bit of a hurry to get out, so I'm going to try to go ahead and get these last few things so we can both get out of here. MLW is supposed to be making a huge announcement tonight. So hopefully by the time you're listening to this, that they will have made it. I'm thinking there's going to be their, whatever their national TV deal is. I don't know what network it's going to be, but I hope it's, you know, one of the nicer ones. I'm hearing that it might be Destination America. You know, previously, that was the network that used to have Impact Wrestling. So apparently I'm hearing rumblings that it might be Destination America. So fingers crossed, at least while Destination America is not a huge network, it is, you know, a little bit more credible than some of the other ones. So it's within the Discovery, you know, family. So they would have access on that app as well. So I think this would be a nice move for a company the size of MLW. I don't know, like I said, for Impact, it seemed like to be a step in the wrong direction. MLW, this would be a step in the right direction because they're getting in bed for some bigger companies. So what do you think about that?
I 100% agree with you.
Yeah, sometimes life isn't just about what you're doing. It's about what direction you're heading, about your momentum and stuff. And this would be good momentum for MLW. I believe we've covered, one more important story since we are talking about, you know, the rest of the media and whatnot. Triller has purchased Fight pay-per-view, and that's FITE when I say Fight. I want to thank SC Scoops for, you know, some of the information we've been able to use today, and particularly this article. TrillerNet has announced the acquisition of PPV, streaming platform Fight. The following press release was sent to SC Scoops. TrillerNet acquires premier live event, pay-per-view, video on demand, streaming platform Fight, taking major next steps in building global content ecosystem. If you're not familiar with TrillerNet, and also they do have Trillerhole Company LLC, they're the ones doing a lot of these fights that are like, they're not quite the traditional, what we call celebrity boxing, but they are using a lot of celebrity boxers. They're using like the Jake Paul boxing match that happened this past weekend and some of the stuff like that. They're also responsible for that Mike Tyson fight we had, you know, against Roy Jones Jr. They've already got, they've already screamed some fights with like Floyd Mayweather, Pacquiao, you know, Alvarez, Deontay Wilder, Terrence Crawford. So there's a lot of talented guys in there, Logan Paul, Jake Paul. And of course, you know, they do have some good investors as well, like Early Bird Digital, Launch Hub Ventures, Tim Draper, Bright Cap. So they have a lot of quality investors and a lot of creative minds and stuff with the company. Snoop Dogg's been on a few of their broadcasts. And actually, Snoop Dogg's been surprisingly good on color commentary. I actually was kind of reluctant when they said he was going to be doing the color commentary position, but he actually did a pretty good job. But so I did not watch the Jake Paul fight this past weekend. Well, I take that back. I watched the highlights from it that they had on Twitter. And I'm glad I did not pay money to watch the fight because he beat the hell out of it really quickly. I would have been pissed if I actually paid to watch a fight that short. But I did get to see the highlights, but I did not watch the whole. I did not watch the whole fight like I did the last time Trevor put on the event when it was the Mike Tyson event. When I watched a lot of the undercard as well as the Tyson Roy Jones Jr. fight. But fight does have some decent partners. They got like top ranked AEW, PBC, ONE Championship, WWE, Impact, Golden Boy, Matchroom Boxing. So they have some of the largest, you know, combat sports brands going, and they do have relationships with them. So apparently they do have a nice large order. I was not aware of some of these different rights that they had, but apparently they're available on 5 continents, 300 different sports rights holders, and like all those companies I mentioned, which are some of the biggest ones in wrestling, as well as some of the biggest ones in boxing and MMA. So I think this could be something that's very, very good. And they do a good job of putting on interesting shows, not just with having quality matches and fights, but also combining, you know, sort of singers and musicians, but in a way that makes sense for the company. Because just because you have an opportunity to have a singer or a rapper on the show doesn't mean they should be there. If it makes sense for their show or if you're putting on a creative experience, then I'm all for it. But just having somebody because they're a famous name, I don't care. So shout out to Trilla, and I'm looking forward to see what good things they can do with their brand. So you got any thoughts on that, Brian?
I'm waiting to see what happens.
Okay. Good. Nice and simple. Way to keep it going. I think that about covers it for this week. I know you weren't available to do the WrestleMania show last week. So you got any thoughts on WrestleMania you want to share before we get out of here?
WrestleMania, I was surprised that WrestleMania, I actually give it a solid B, actually.
Okay, I did mention last week, so I won't go into it too much. But yeah, I was actually pleasantly surprised with WrestleMania. I was not, you know, I knew I was hopeful that it would be a decent show just because we hadn't had live fans in the WWE arena for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that energy was there. So I think in hindsight, having low expectations show wasn't probably the best idea just because it would have been very, very hard not to have a good WrestleMania with crowd back for the first time because the energy was going to be there. So, but I was pleasantly surprised. I was not particularly looking for WrestleMania as I usually do for this particular year. I was actually, you know, I did expect Bad Bunny to do well, and he actually did do well because you could tell by the way he had done a few appearances he had already that he was going to do something good, but I was not prepared for him to, quote, carry the match. He literally carried the match when Damian Priest was his partner, and I was not prepared for that. Because you expect, okay, he'll do a high spot here, a high spot there, but then you have the real wrestler do the real work. It was kind of almost the exact opposite of that. He had like 3, 4, 5 high spots in that match, as well as being solid when he wasn't, quote, doing a high spot. So shout out to him. He's the guy, I think, if he wanted to do it, he could legitimately be a wrestler. Like I said, there's been some celebrities over the last year who have put on good performances, but there's only two that's even that. Him and Pat McAfee, I think if they wanted to be, quote, wrestlers full time, I think they could do it. Shaq, even though he put on a pretty decent match, there's no way I don't think Shaq could be, quote, a full-time good wrestler.
No.
But Shaq did a good job as far as, okay, he should kill O'Neal. I want to see him do something. And he didn't embarrass himself. Because a lot of celebrities, they just throw some weak punch or look stupid or, they don't want to get their hands dirty the right way. They don't look bad. He actually put on a match in a way that was credible. He was actually a solid, quote, big man, but he was also a guy that's almost 50, and he's, a 7-foot guy, so you expect his body might be sort of broken down at that point. But he actually did a credible job for what you expect out of his body, and he didn't, and he actually did sell some big moves. He actually went through the table, and a lot of, quote, big-name celebrities won't do that. That's the problem. They're not willing to, quote, sell. They don't want to look bad. He was willing to, quote, look bad. It looked good and, quote, looking bad. So that's my hats off to Shaq. So anyway, I think that covers it for this week. You got any final thoughts before we go, Brian?
My final thought would be, if nothing else, MLW. If you didn't see Never Say Never, you need to check it out on YouTube. It was a pretty good match. And as me and you both know, for a 1-hour show, they have a very good product. And if you do get a chance, also check out Ring of Honor, because they also have a 1-hour show, but it's a very good product.
Still not back there yet. I still watch Ring of Honor, but I'm still not back there with him yet. Once AEW formed, that was sort of the end of Ring of Honor as we knew it for me. I kind of look at them, even though they're still a part of a, quote, billion-dollar company, I still look at them as they went from being, like, in contention to being the, quote, second or third major to being a nice indie company in my book. So, anyway, that's a different topic for a different day. We've actually discussed that a few times before, so I'm not going to get into it again today, but yeah, definitely support as much wrestling as you can, quality wrestling. I'm not saying support garbage, but, you don't, like I said, I know there was the, quote, Wednesday Night War. Oh, before I get out, I almost forgot to discuss that, but yeah, AEW did a huge number last week without a, quote, Wednesday Night War. They did 1.2 million. I think NXT the night before did around 700,000, so AEW keeps on winning with these Wednesday Night War. 1.2 million. I think that was their second highest rating ever. So great job by AEW. Like I said, let's see if they can continue the momentum with this coming up week. Anyway, I'm King David Lane. That's at King David Lane on Mr. Major Social Media platform. Go to Pro Wrestling Tees. Get the Wrestling With Problems short shirt so you can support not only Wrestling With Problems, but also support the VOC network. As you can see the logo behind me. This is Brian Hunter at Brock Biz on Twitter. Follow him on that social media platform as well. Thanks for listening, and you've been listening to Wrestling With Problems. We'll be back next week. Thanks for joining us.
Phil Apter has been in the pro wrestling business for over 50 years.
Hey, talking here with Arn Anderson. Arn, first of all, your height and weight.
6'1", 255.
And now subscribers to VOC Nation Premium get exclusive access to Bill Apter's archived audio footage.
And where's your hometown?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay, and give us something about your back. First of all, your relationship to Ole Anderson.
Ole is my...
Subscription to VOC Nation Premium starts at just $3 a month and includes commercial-free audio and video versions of our top podcasts.
Okay, we're speaking here with the manager of the World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, Tarzan Tyler and Luke Graham, and he's sort of glowing tonight about a new prospect we haven't heard of yet.
And for just $9 a month, Apter's archives are all yours.
Would you tell us who this new prospect
is? Well, I'll tell you, Bill, I've searched the world, and I finally found the true world champion. I finally found...
Wonder, what's your opinion of Ivan Koloff winning the title from Bruno Sammartino?
Well, I think... I don't know what to say, but I want to say one thing. Bruno was a hell of a champion. You know?
Hear exclusive interviews with the greatest performers of all time.
This is Bill Apter, and once again, we're speaking here with Bruno Sammartino. Bruno, first of all, how did you and Bruiser lose that title to the Valiants?
Well, actually, it was a very unusual loss, if you want to call it a loss.
Did Heenan have anything to do with this?
Well, yes, but the whole thing is this, that the rules, as I always understood them, was that the title could only be lost by pin or submission, which is the same rules as my title, the World Wrestling Federation. That night, it was...
To sign up, it's very simple. Head to premium.vocnation.com or go to patreon.com/vocnation. VOC Nation takes you behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history.